Hi everyone, and welcome to the Business of Customer Love podcast, brought to you by Mention Me. I'm your host Simeon Atkins, and thanks for joining us today. Growing your brand through customer love might seem like an idea that belongs in the company cafe rather than the boardroom. But identifying, growing, and activating a base of loyal fans is serious business, and the results of harnessing customer advocacy can be truly transformational for both your company and your customers. We gather experts from across the space to shine a light on how you can unleash a virtuous cycle of sustainable organic growth where your best customers keep coming back and bringing their friends too. So let's get into today's episode. So I'm delighted to be joined today by Paul Richardson, Client Experience Director at HSBC. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Simeon, and thank you for the invite, and looking forward to our conversation.
Absolutely, likewise. And you're here today to talk about the importance of customer advocacy at HSBC and how you're using that as an important growth driver for the business. Before we dive in, though, do you want to give a quick introduction to our listeners?
Yeah, and as I said, thank you. So, as you mentioned, I'm currently at HSBC. I've actually been there for 22 years, so quite a while. And I've been very lucky enough to work in various different countries and various different roles, from being the front line, which I've really loved and loved that engagement with our customers and clients, and also then sort of more operational and kind of really sort of understanding how the bank works and that. And one of the things a lot of people don't know, I actually started my career teaching people to sail. So, completely different, and then fell into banking. Still not quite sure how I kind of bridged that gap, but there you go. That's where I started my career.
I was going to say 20 years is about as long as I've been with HSBC myself, actually. Probably a similar kind of time that I opened up my first account with HSBC. Do you still teach sailing on the side by interest?
Not as much, and I do try and go at least once a year. But yeah, it was a very big passion of mine, and family and other things sort of get in the way. But I do try where I can. Love to take people out and just, you know, give them that experience of being out on the water. So
I can imagine. Fabulous. Now, tradition on the show to get things kicked off, I'd love for you to share a time recently where, as a consumer, you experienced customer love firsthand, and really what impact that had on you as a consumer.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest, I think for me, has been John Lewis. And I know that sort of coming up the scale of kind of shopping experience, but I've always been very impressed with them. And I love the actual shop experience. And I think it's that I think has really been the value, and where I've, you know, you sort of, once you interact with humans, other than the kind of the app experience, I've always bought things. I find it very difficult to find the right thing to fit or the right thing that I really want. And I quite often like to, speak to people around, you know, what do they think and what's their impressions and things. And particular example, I bought some shoes from John Lewis, the popular make. And anyway, I'd sort of worn them for a bit, and the soles started to peel. And I hadn't been in London for a long time, sort of working different places. And actually, it was probably about 6 months later I took the shoes back. And there was just no quibble with them. It was just, yep, no problem, we'll take that. You know, we've still stocked that shoe, replaced it straight away, you know. I beg to differ, they didn't have it in stock. And so they ordered it up for me, and then they called me up to say, look, it's in, you know, we can either deliver it to you, or you can come back in the store and pick it back up again. And that, to me, I thought was just a fantastic experience. I mean, it was slightly, you know, I sort of, you know, I felt guilty because it was so long, but I hadn't really worn them, you know, from purchase to, you know, so I was kind of feeling guilty when I asked, you know, would they replace? But there was no question. And I think, to me, that that sort of the way that they bring the customer along and have the customer at the heart of their business is, I just think, is you know, is just a fantastic place. You know, and we've, you know, I've looked at other things and to purchase, and you're always engaged. You know, it's never sort of felt pressurized. And they bring a level of expertise as well to that conversation. And I think that's, you know, that's where that sort of real care and love comes in from, a feeling of wanting to do the right thing for their customers.
There's a question that I ask a few guests around how they would define customer love. And I feel like your example there actually really epitomizes that. But the, just the way that you kind of spoke about that experience and described how you thought of John Lewis as a business in terms of like putting customers at the heart of everything they're doing, I think is a really nice way to think about customer love. And I think my own opinion of that story that you gave is that, yes, you're taking back a pair of shoes, you might have had it for 6 months, but what's the knock-on effect of that, right? Like, you have now become a loyal, not even a customer, but an advocate. You've come onto the podcast talking about John Lewis. How many times have you now gone back and purchased from John Lewis? How many people have you told about that experience that have driven more people to shop at John Lewis? So yes, you took back one pair of shoes, but actually what has that driven for the business long term?
And I think that's where, you know, I mean, I know our conversations around advocacy and things like that, but I think that's where it really is driven from. It is that deep sense of care around their customers and kind of really engaging, connecting with them. You know, and that drives advocacy because, you know, to your point, like, am I likely to say to people, you know, look, this is the experience? Yes, I am. You know, it was a positive experience. You know, and they dealt with it in such a really good, positive way. The other areas, I think, where they sort of excelled in that part was they gave options as well. You know, the bit of, we can either deliver it or you can come in. You know, so they're sort of, it's not a one size fits all. And I think that's where their particular sort of dynamic as a business makes a difference, you know, and it comes back to that human touch as well sometimes. You know, I think digital is a great way of kind of really engaging with people, but I think you often quite need that hybrid ability to kind of really speak to, you know, engage people immersively with a human-led experience as well as kind of that digital online experience as well.
Yeah, and I'd like to expand on that. When we were talking off air, sort of setting up the interview, it became really, really apparent to me that customer advocacy is a massive part of HSBC and your strategy and just the way that you're thinking about the business. I'd love if you could just share with us fundamentally why customer advocacy is so important for HSBC. We'll kind of dive into the mechanics of how it works, etc. But just to kind of like set things off, like, why is customer experience so fundamentally important to HSBC?
You can get very quick and very basic with it. I mean, fundamentally, advocacy drives engagement. It drives new customers into the business, you know, and, you know, whatever business that you're in, you know, a customer that's being brought in by another customer will stay with you longer. They're more likely to spend more. They're more likely to kind of stay and then recommend and everything else. They've come in with a perception. You know, we still need to meet, and organizations need to meet that perception that's been driven by somebody else. But, you know, they've come in with a more positive view than kind of just a quick buck or an offering or something like that, which doesn't always drive advocacy. It's kind of, you're on a longer lead time than if you're following that kind of route, you know, because you've got to really then connect and be really immersive with your customers if you're kind of going down that angle. So, you know, a far stronger way is to kind of really drive advocacy within our client base. And particularly, so I work in the private banking sector, so it's slightly different compared to our normal retail business. But the advocacy piece is absolutely critical to that business. The recommendations that come from our clients are so important to us. And that really is how we drive our new client acquisition. It's one of the key areas that our relationship managers will engage and, you know, and sort of look for other opportunity. And it's that relationship built from a really good, solid foundation that helps drive that advocacy coming in.
And is this something that you have as a specific channel or a specific strategy, customer advocacy, or is it something that more feeds into other, for example, acquisition strategies that you have? So through, you know, maybe Google and Meta, if you're kind of using those channels, is it something that supports those, or is it something that sits as a standalone channel and strategy that you guys are focusing on?
So I would say it's kind of part of, you know, kind of everything that we try and do. I wouldn't say it's fundamental to a pure strategy. But if you're thinking of kind of advocacy, then, you know, it's like, what are we doing around to kind of keep advocacy, to keep our clients with us? You know, whether that's dealing with complaints or problems or issues, you know, I often find that actually sometimes if you can resolve quite a big problem, pain point with a client, actually they become real big advocates of you, you know. And, yeah, and so I wouldn't say there's no one line strategy. I'd say it's kind of, it's more trying to inject it into your DNA and be part of every part of our business.
I love that point. I think you just have such an opportunity when something's gone wrong. It sounds really counterintuitive, but actually, that's where you could make a real loyal customer. If something goes wrong and you deal with it in the right way, you've got a great opportunity. And with that, one of the other things that we were talking about before this was how you've added more of a human element to the customer feedback surveys that you do. Can we kind of talk a bit more about that and the impact that it's had as well?
Yeah, I think when we spoke about this, it was I took over the current role. I've been in this role now for 4 years. And as I said, it's a particular subset of our customer base. So it's, you know, private clients. It's kind of in that top end, less likely to respond to kind of surveys and things like that. But actually, we get a really good response from our online surveys. And what we've done is to kind of really create within them, we, you know, the areas that we feel our clients really want to give us feedback around. And actually, one of the things that I did is we put a question in at the start is, would you be willing to give us further feedback? So actually, to kind of take it more offline and have a really human led conversation with them. And actually we get about 30 to 40% take up on that. So out of all the surveys that we get this kind of 30, 40% take up where it gives us the opportunity with a kind of top tier of our clients to really kind of deeply understand them. And actually I've honestly found they've really engaging because they're quite senior business leaders. And actually, they kind of want to understand us and they kind of want to help improve their experience. So they're keen to give ideas. They're keen, you know, they might be in technology firms or they might be in other sectors where, you know, they've seen some of the problems before and actually are willing to kind of help and fix that. Or it could be something more how we can really fundamentally help them and use that sort of particular feedback to kind of test different concepts that we want to talk to them about, or, you know, particular other areas it might be around propositional areas like this that we want to kind of build on with them.
And when you said there about feedback that they want to give, so I'm trying to sort of like understand what this would look like. So it's more about because I feel like with some feedback surveys you get, you have, you know, a few questions to answer, and it's kind of dictated by the business. And as you said, it might not be anything that I'm particularly interested in. So what you're saying there is that you're giving the customers the floor to tell you what they want to tell you rather than you dictating to them. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think it's, I you know, I've been sort of working it within the sort of Net Promoter system for some time, probably about the last 8 years within that. And I think, you know, there are surveys out there that it's, you know, it's very much, you know, would you recommend this experience? You know, and sometimes like you kind of think, well, that's kind of a function. It's not mm-hmm. something I'm going to recommend. Mm-hmm. And so we try and move away from that, and we try and move to be more detailed around. So we've got some standard questions that we apply, which kind of gives us a good understanding of performance levels. But then actually what we want to know from a client is, you know, in this particular area that we know there's problems, these are some of the things that we're considering to fix it. What do you think? Mm. And actually that gives us that level of feedback, you know, to kind of really understand how they, you know, how we can drive a better service and kind of support our clients with all the needs that they might have. And to me, it's just changing the way that you think about your questions and what you want to get out of them, rather than this sort of very kind of almost robotic way of kind of answering. And I think a lot of people are, I wouldn't say done with surveys, but kind of, you know, just are just so used to it now that they just skip past them. So I think it has to be really meaningful for somebody to kind of want to give you that that response. But also then, you know, you need to do something with it as well. That comes back to closing that loop of, you know, like, you know, you've said we've done kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I want to expand on that. So you were saying you get about a 30% response rate, which is very impressive. So what are you then doing with those customer insights? How are they helping to inform your products and your service development?
Yeah, so I'll just caveat the 30%. So the 30% is around those clients willing to give us more feedback. So actually more so moving away from a survey to actually physically spending an hour with us and through that. And we really, and I think that's where, you know, you can get to that level of granularity within your products and services that you want to kind of offer our clients. So we've done a lot of testing around particular online features and kind of understanding how our clients, you know, want to receive information, how they might react to it, you know, and that's been really, really useful for us to be able to kind of take that feedback and then sort of build a better digital product for them. And probably few people listening, and they probably think, oh, well, that's, you know, we do that all the time. There's lots of companies. But when you're dealing in this sector, it's very hard to get to those clients. You know, it's not an easy place where somebody is willing, a very senior executive is willing to give you an hour of their time. But I think because they're connected to the business and they really are, you know, I would say they're an advocate, otherwise they wouldn't do it. And actually you find that that's sort of helps driving advocacy as well. I've had some notes directly back from some of our clients saying, hey, look, you know, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciated it. And anything else in the future, you know, I'd love to be part of it. So, you know, that even sort of not just through our relationship managers, but I think if you're connecting to your customers in a way that you're genuinely trying to come from a place that you want to help and improve their experience, actually that just as well drives advocacy of the business. And I think that's something that we've started to see really grow and develop as well.
That's really interesting. So the more that you're bringing your customers in, hearing their voice and showing them that that feedback is actually having a difference, that then in turn is helping to turn more of them into advocates.
Absolutely. And you know, and I do think, you know, there has to be an open and honesty of this as well, because not everything they're going to say we're going to fix, yeah, or we're going to do. Yeah. So, you know, there's a definite caveat within that relationship, you know, because some things might be they want to reach for the moon and we just cannot possibly get there. You know, at the end of the day, you know, you are running a business and you have to be very practical around some of those decisions that you need to make. So you can't sort of promise the world, but what you can do is really look, you know, we're listening and what I will do is come back and explain to you, you know, why have we done this? And you know, why haven't we done this kind of stuff, or we've taken a different route? You know, and I think that's being that sort of really open, honest, I think is really important to that whole piece around advocacy as well. I think you kind of have to really, you know, put yourself out there sometimes with the clients to kind of really, you know, for them around that trust piece as well. So,
Interesting. One of the things that we were speaking about before was the challenge around striking the balance between a human-led and a digital experience. I'd love if you could share with us some ways that you're sort of approaching and tackling that challenge.
Yeah, as I said, I think from you know, our business that I'm currently in, the private banking sector, it's very human-led. So it's very much around that human experience, and we're kind of going in the slightly opposite direction of trying to then bring in some more digital things. So we're kind of got a slight different challenge probably to others, but I can talk about sort of some of the things that I've seen, and this is where I think that human connection really kind of makes a difference. And quite often it becomes in that more high stakes decision making kind of areas. Example might be a mortgage. You know, particular customers might want to, you know, a mortgage. Quite topical at the moment with interest rates, and nobody really understands what's going on. And I think that's where that human connection, where you're doing a lot of research, but fundamentally you're buying probably the most expensive loan you'll have in your life. You know, and you want reassurance around that, and you know, digital can't, or online can't really give that to you. You know, that's sort of beyond I always think there's a price point that people go beyond most people go beyond, where it's sort of like, actually, I need to speak with somebody, I need some reassurance, I need some comfort here that this is, I'm doing the right thing. And I think that's where that human-led piece comes in, you know, and it could be different things that, you know, and different price points for different people, or different sort of emotional connection is going to be different from everyone. But it is that driver of reassurance and, you know, trust that people sort of look to an expert and sort of come to them sort of saying, oh, what do you think? I need your help. I need your advice. You know, and then they might go away and do something completely different, and that's their choice. But I think there's definitely that reassurance piece where you flick between being purely digitally online led to kind of bringing in that real human being, you know, whether it's in a, you know, a virtual space like we are, or it is, you know, physically face to face. You know, and I go back to my John Lewis experience. You know, I probably could have gone through, you know, the app and talked to somebody and things like that. But I kind of felt a bit guilty because I'd kind of had the shoes for so long and not done anything with them. And actually, I kind of wanted to speak with somebody, just like, you know, is it possible? You know, what can I do? And things like that. So I kind of waited, and which kind of didn't help with some of the time, but to go in and have that experience. And that's, I think, where, you know, sometimes you create that stronger advocacy, you know, and you talk about love, that real care and love comes out, I think, from where you can really connect in a human way.
It's really interesting. I hadn't thought of it like that. Obviously, I was aware that you had digital experiences and more human experience, but I hadn't thought that there are really times where a human experience, for example, is probably going to be the better option or necessary versus a digital one. Like the example you gave there was a really good one. Like there's going to be a threshold of how much you're borrowing or spending where you want to speak to someone. Or like you were saying there with the shoe example, you might feel a little bit self-conscious about something and you just want to speak to someone. I hadn't really thought about it in that way before. That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's. I just think it is that kind of reassurance piece that people go through when they're making big, particularly big decisions. Yeah. Mm. And or even, you know, we see it sometimes when sending money. You know, you might, it could be for a house, again, another example, you're sending the money and actually you could quite easily do it for your app, but you might, we see customers phoning up because they kind of want that reassurance. They kind of want somebody on the other end to say, yeah, you know, I've entered the details, I've double checked it and sort of feel calm that that's gone and it's being dealt with rather than sort of, you know, going off into the ether and actually it's just the same and it's, you know, we use the same system, same technology sits all behind it. So it makes no difference, but it's that reassurance piece that people really look for.
Well, we've covered some brilliant ground today. The final thing I wanted to talk to you about was this idea of advocacy being able to unlock additional value from customers. So we were speaking before about the fact that there's only so much that you can get customers to spend or how much, you know, features or services that they can use. And you gave some really good examples around how advocacy can drive more value beyond just how much customer is spending. I love if you could just finish up the episode with sharing some of those examples.
Yeah, so I think, I talked about sort of that engagement with our clients and sort of sharing that that piece there. And I think that's where, to me, is, you know, particularly as a bank, it's look, we do the fundamentals, but also, you know, how else can we help our customers' lives, you know, and how can we connect them into other parts of the business to really support? And there's some really interesting things that, you know, we're looking at, you know, and I think there's sort of the non-exec directors where we have, particularly in private banking, a lot of really experienced clients. And actually, how can we connect them with other businesses, you know, to where they don't want to kind of just retire? They've still got a lot to give and actually they're keen to kind of help and support. And that's things, you know, where we have a huge commercial presence across the globe. And actually we can connect these experts in. So it's things like that. And I think we've been talking to a lot of clients. How do we shape that? What does that look like? And things like that. And that drives, you know, that drives advocacy beyond kind of the monetary aspect. And, you know, it creates this sense of we're in it together and we're here to help you for a long run, not just, you know, not just this short period of time. And for me, that's really sort of, I think, particularly where you have organizations that have a strong sense of being, you know, and I talked about John Lewis, that they've got that sort of very much within their DNA. And, you know, where you have organizations like that, it's kind of what do they do beyond? And I think that's just as important to kind of the whole advocacy piece, because you're talking about generations now. You know, you're talking about how does that come down the generations, and particularly in banking. You know, you talked about that you've had your bank account for 20 odd years, you know, and I might be wrong, but that might have either been at a uni thing where we've had a stand, or it could have come from your parents where they've opened your first account. You know, so it sort of comes down quite often. We find that, you know, we create this advocacy within our clients, you know, and that sort of comes out to their children and beyond their families and stuff. You know, as long as we get it right, and, you know, we try to get it right most of the times, but, you know, that's what I really feel kind of, you know, helps create it.
It was secondary school. You got me very early.
Ah, that's good.
Before I had a chance to speak to anyone else.
Well, it's, and I suppose I'll ask you a question. Why, you know, what made you join? Was it just us that we happened to be there, or?
I think it was at the time, but since then, I've just had no reason to change, really, to be honest with you. I get everything that I need. So, but it is amazing to think how long, you know, and I think that's true with a lot of people as well. They do. Yeah. It does seem to be something that people just stick with. And I think that everything that you were talking about there around customer experience and advocacy, for me, I think there's just such a big place for it in something like banking, because you're with a company for so long, and it's fundamentally something so important as well. You're talking about your finances as well. So it's an area where you really are crying out for good customer experience and to feel like you're being looked after as well. So it's just been really interesting to dive into some of that with you today.
No problem. No, it's been great. And, you know, and always glad that you're a customer as well. So that's always good.
And a happy customer, I can tell you, Paul.
Good.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No problem.
You've been listening to the Business of Customer Love podcast, hosted by Mention Me. Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to join us next time, where we'll be speaking to some more amazing guests about how you can harness the power of customer love. See you again soon.